Russ Davis. Join me for Jazz America right after the latest news on VOA 1.
I'm Steve Norman reporting. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry met Friday with Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif in Vienna to discuss disputes that prevented nuclear negotiators from meeting a June 30th deadline for an agreement. VOA's Mary Alice Salinas is in Vienna.
There's no question that key disputes remain, including the pace of sanctions relief. Also, inspectors' access to Tehran's military and nuclear facilities, still very sensitive issues. Progress has been made this week. The talks are now at the ministerial level, so we have had foreign ministers from all six negotiating powers here. Also, Tehran's officials are here, and those kinds of talks are expected to continue throughout the weekend. Reporting from Vienna, Mary Alice Salinas, VOA News.
Negotiators from Iran and six world powers have given themselves a Tuesday deadline to come up with a comprehensive deal to lift international sanctions in exchange for Tehran scaling back its nuclear program. Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras is urging voters to vote no in Sunday's referendum on whether the country should accept European bailout terms. Three recent polls of likely voters put the yes vote narrowly ahead of no. Greece is cut off from further European aid after failing Tuesday to meet a deadline for repaying $1.8 billion owed to the International Monetary Fund. Witnesses say Boko Haram militants have executed 11 members who were accused of deserting the Islamist extremist group. Also, heavy gunfire heard on the edges of the Borno state capital, Maiduguri. Boko Haram blamed for several attacks this week and the killing of more than 150 people, deadliest wave of violence since President Buhari took office in May. This is VOA News. Law enforcement officials across the United States are boosting security for Independence Day events today after security agencies warned about potential terrorist threats aimed to the July 4th holiday. Douglas Price is with the FBI.
You know, you can have some person in their mom's basement on a computer becoming radicalized and never have to go anywhere, never leave their house. And that's the challenge for us in law enforcement, is that type of person.
Terror acts last week in Tunisia, Kuwait, and France, in which dozens of civilians were killed, prompted the U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson to issue a statement calling for increased vigilance over the Independence Day holiday in the U.S. Islamic State militants claim responsibility for the Tunisia and the Kuwait attacks. And Syrian observers are saying that the ancient Muslim antiquities from Palmyra that Islamic State said it took from a smuggler and then destroyed may have been fakes. The Britain-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights said Friday the so-called smuggler may be an Islamic State member. It says Islamic State may be planning to sell the original statues and the ones being smashed in photographs released by the militants as fake. Even so, the chief of the UN's cultural organization, UNESCO, is condemning Islamic State's apparent destruction of Muslim artifacts. Philippine authorities say the death toll from a ferry accident has now risen to 50 and at least five are remaining missing. More than 140 passengers were rescued or swam ashore after the ship went down Thursday, just minutes out of Ormoc City on its regular route to the Comoros Islands. An initial investigation suggests a combination of bad weather and human error led to that accident. President Obama will be meeting with Vietnam's Communist Party leader at the White House on Tuesday for talks on trade and other issues. Nguyen Phu Trong is the first Vietnamese communist leader to visit the U.S. He'll be arriving shortly after the 40th anniversary of the end of the Vietnam War between his country and the United States. Solar-powered Swiss airplane touched down in Hawaii on Friday, completing a record-breaking flight across the Pacific, riskiest leg of the 35,000-kilometer trip around the world without using any fuel. Pilots flew to Hawaii after an unscheduled month-long stop in Japan because of bad weather. Andre Boschberg is one of the plane's two pilots.
And when we had to decide together when was the right time to leave Japan, it was a tough decision because you go into the unknown. You don't know. You don't know if it's feasible. You don't know if it's possible. You don't know if you are going to lose the airplane.
Solar Impulse 2 is brainchild of Boschberg and Bertrand Piccard, who began the project in 2002.
That's the latest world news from VOA. This is Russ Davis, and I welcome you to another edition of Jazz America. On this edition of the program, we'll celebrate one of the greats of jazz history, Ornette Coleman, who died at the age of 85. The great composer and saxophonist helped reshape jazz. We'll also celebrate the 16th birthday of Jazz America. Yes, the great man Ornette Coleman passed away on Thursday the 11th of June and left an incredible musical legacy. He's known by many as the father of free jazz, an entire movement in jazz that took the free improvisation of the music, which was there from the very beginning, and took it to a whole new, different, higher level. We'll talk to Ornette Coleman in a conversation I had with him in 2007 here in my home base of New York City, and we'll share with you some of his wonderful, groundbreaking music. We'll also celebrate the 4th of July, America's birthday, which also seems to be, according to all of my records, the very weekend that we began Jazz America back in 1999. And from the very beginning, my superiors here at Voice of America told me that our mission was to present the best of what America has to offer. And in my humble opinion, the greatest thing our nation has ever created is our arts. And the greatest of our arts, of course, is jazz. Well, since Jazz America was born on the 4th of July, I thought I'd begin this edition of the program with a great American artist who was also born in New York City on the 4th of July, the master of the vibes, Mike Mignieri. Many know him as the leader of the band Steps Ahead. He worked as a young man in New York City with great jazz artists and pop artists too, then developed his own style and created not only the band Steps Ahead with all-star players from the New York scene, but also his own wonderful solo work, like this. From his album, Wanderlust, here's Mike Mignieri with a host of fantastic players, among them the late, great Michael Brecker, on the song entitled Bullet Train. Mike Mignieri, happy birthday to him, and happy birthday to America, and happy birthday to Jazz America. We'll be right back.
You could not bear to turn away, but always kept returning to ask for one more kiss. You seem so different now, your manner pleasantly blasé. My broken heart refuses to believe we've come to be.
Jazz America, I like to tell you that I give you the best of jazz past and present, and conversation with the music makers, and we'll have conversation with the late, great Ornette Coleman in just a bit, but we just gave you some music from the past and the present. We heard a classic piece from Mike Mignieri's Wanderlust album from the 20th century, and from just the last couple of months, a new release featuring pianist David Benoit and the great vocalist Jane Monheit. The album, Two in Love, and from that I hope you enjoyed that fresh new take on that Latin rhythm on the song Barcelona Nights. This is Russ Davis, and the great Ornette Coleman, certainly an innovator. Many musicians are fine players. Many musicians are wonderful composers. But very few are true innovators, breaking new ground. Ornette Coleman did that. In 2007, at the Jazz at Lincoln Center Complex in the center of Manhattan, I had a chance to speak with Ornette Coleman, hear some of that conversation, followed by possibly his most famous song ever. Our conversation turned from making music in a strict pattern to making music that is totally free.
Without free expression, all you do is repeat the same thing. But if you have free expression, you can make more mistakes that are very good.
Well, free is the operative term. I mean, you brought that word into jazz more than anybody else ever has. I mean, you created a whole subgenre of jazz, free jazz.
Sound doesn't have any parents.
Well, you know, it seems that free expression is part of the definition of jazz, and I have a feeling that you've got a little friction down through the years every once in a while from folks.
True.
But that's good, too.
Oh, no, it's good to know that a mistake doesn't mean fatally. It sometimes means glorious.
You know, and also, what was it, Horace Silver's album title some years ago, It's Gotta Be Fun.
Gotta
I think
be
that was
fun.
One of his album titles. And I think it does have to be, and that's part of, you know.
Well, not only does it have to be fun, but you have to make fun out of it as well. Mm-hmm. Which means is that the best laughter in the world is enjoying your mistakes.
You know, there's a childlike situation you're talking about here.
Probably.
Because kids just, they get up on the monkey bars and they fall, they're sliding, everybody's laughing at them, but they just had a blast doing that.
Well, there's nothing wrong with intelligence until you have to face it with a gun.
Well said. You know, the guitarist Pat Martino told me about having that brain aneurysm. 1980 he was performing, and he went back down to no memory.
Oh.
And he started creating. He'd already established himself as a major artist.
Uh-huh.
So when he came back to consciousness,
oh, yeah,
people had to remind him that you are this great guitar player. You got all these records.
Uh-huh.
Here's your records. They played them for him. And he said he went back to being a child again. And that was, and the best part of it was automatic, free creativity. And that is the way I would define your music. I would characterize your music. It's almost,
well, I would say that every human being has been created by the same source and has been taught by the same qualities. And by always, everyone is looking for the freedom of becoming one with everyone. And there's nothing wrong with that because you can't kill that. It's forever.
recorded in 1959, released in 1960 with one of the greatest bands jazz has ever known. Ornette Coleman on alto sax, Don Cherry on trumpet, Charlie Hayden on bass, and Billy Higgins on drums from the groundbreaking album Change of the Century, Ornette Coleman's Ramblin'. And now we go from a free jazz anthem and standard to a traditional standard from the Great American Songbook, from a new release entitled A Million Colors in Your Mind. It's Cyrus Chestnut, the great pianist with I've Never Been in Love Before, on Jazz America from VOA 1. One of the current reigning kings of his generation in jazz piano, Cyrus Chestnut. Hope you enjoyed his latest work here on Jazz America. We've got more conversation with Ornette Coleman coming up, but first, I want to invite you to get in touch with me by email. It's very simple. I'll give you the email address to which you can write with your questions, comments, or requests for music. Here's the address, jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's Jazz America, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. Jazz America @voanews.com. And here's a thought-provoking email I received not long ago after we did a special in celebration of the 100th birthday of Billie Holiday. And by the way, it's very interesting coincidentally that Frank Sinatra, who, our Voice of America music director and great vocalist and trombonist as well, Eric Felton has said is the greatest jazz musician of all time, Frank Sinatra, also turns 100, and you know we'll be celebrating him in the future here on Jazz America. But first, to Billie Holiday. Here's the email I received. Russ, we can but wonder what Billie Holiday would sound like with modern sound recording technology, although the voice still sounds great from the past. As Dee Dee Bridgewater said, Billie Holiday is still present. James Stack, Hunters Hill, Australia. James, very thought-provoking email. Thank you very much. And here's an idea of maybe what Billie Holiday would sound like today with modern sound recording technology. From one of the many celebrations of Billie Holiday that's been released this year, from Canadian vocalist Molly Johnson. From her album Because of Billie, let's enjoy her version of Them There Eyes.
With you the first time I looked into them their eyes. You have a certain cute way of flirting with them their eyes. They make me feel so happy. They make me feel so blue. I'm falling, no stalling, falling in a great big way for you. My heart is jumping, you started something with them their eyes. You better look out, little brown eyes of your wife. They sparkle, they bubble, gonna get you in a whole lot of trouble. Ooh, ooh, baby, damn their into. You have a certain little cute way of flirting with. They make me feel so happy. They make me feel so blue. I'm falling, no stalling, in a great big way for you. My heart is jumping, you started something with. Overworking them, there's danger lurking in them.
I wonder if that song was familiar to you. It's the Thelonious Monk classic, I Mean You. And who do you think was playing that piano on that song? The young man, and I'm talking about young, who you just heard, is Joey Alexander, and he's only 12 years old. Talk about sounding professional. Now, here's his story. He was born in the city of Denpasar on the island of Bali in Indonesia in June of 2003. He first encountered a piano at the age of 6 and immediately began picking out the melody of Thelonious Monk's Well You Needn't by ear. He wasn't reading music. I mean, he's 6 years old now. Get this story. And he had just heard the record, but his brain is such that he could absorb the melody and be able to sit down at piano and play it. 5 years later, after that 2003 episode, with the depth of his musicality, he became the talk of the town in New York City, where his family'd moved. And now, with his debut album, My Favorite Things, he's playing with some of the finest jazz musicians around and wowing audiences everywhere, playing this year's Newport Jazz Festival. What a story is. Joey Alexander. We'll follow his story as the weeks roll on here on VOA's Jazz America. And now let's remember the story of the late, great Ornette Coleman, who died at the age of 85 in June. He reshaped jazz by creating the style known as free jazz, and he went through many different bands down through the years, including the band that in 2006 helped him garner a Grammy nomination for the album entitled Sound Grammar. We'll hear from that recording after we talk to Ornette Coleman in our 2007 conversation with him about getting that Grammy nomination here on VOA's Jazz America.
Congratulations, for one thing, on another Grammy nomination for Sound Grammar. Much. You know, you get to go on stage with a bunch of your friends and make some music, and people just pay attention to it, and hey, you're used to this by now.
Yeah, it's good that humanism is still alive.
No doubt about it.
Good.
Well, tell me about the band that you're working with now. Everybody wants to know about what you've done for me recently.
I've been using 4 people, my son Donardo and a bass player named Tony Falango and 1 other bass player, Al McDowell and myself, and we've been traveling around the world playing the music that I've been composing and hoping that to make it better and better by finding more ways to let everyone to have free expression.
You know, it seems that free expression is part of the definition of jazz, and I have a feeling that you've got a little friction down through the years every once in a while from folks.
True.
But that's good, too.
Oh, no, it's good to know that a mistake doesn't mean fatally. It sometimes means glorious.
You know, and also, what was it, Horace Silver's album title some years ago, It's Gotta Be Fun. I think it was one of his album titles. And I think it does have to be, and that's part of, you know.
Well, not only does it have to be fun, but you have to make fun out of it as well. Mm-hmm. Which means is that the best laughter in the world is enjoying your mistakes.
Well, getting this Grammy nomination, does it mean anything to you? Does it mean a lot to you?
I think it means something to anyone where people care about the quality of what you wish to be responsible for. Which means that there's no such thing as racism, no such thing as class, no such thing as illiteracy, because a mistake doesn't mean that you're wrong. It means that you can better it next time.
Mm. Ornette Coleman, thank you for your artistry, and thank you, sir,
for
joining us today.
I had a very good time.
Thank you.
Company from the live Grammy-nominated recording Sound Grammar with a piece entitled Jordan. This is Russ Davis, and I hope you're enjoying our conversation with the late, great Ornette Coleman as we remember this great jazz master who passed away at the age of 85 on the 11th of June. We're also remembering and celebrating the 16th anniversary of Jazz America, born on the 4th of July in 1999. And I'm looking back now, remembering the first song I ever played on Jazz America. It was in honor of my predecessor, doing jazz on Voice of America, the late, great Willis Conover. I played his theme song, Duke Ellington's Take the A-Train, and here it is right now. You don't mind if I play it for you, here on Jazz America from VOA1. Thank you.
This is Horace Silver, and you're listening to Jazz America with Russ Davis on The Voice of America.
That's the late, great Horace Silver from his album Jazz Has a Sense of Humor with Ah Ma Tell. More of our salute to Ornette Coleman coming up next hour here on Jazz America. Stay tuned, please.